This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, today we're going to break away from our discussion of Peter and the things that he did to help us in founding the Christian faith and with regard to his importance. We'll pick that up next time, but today we want to look at some things associated with Easter since this will be played on Easter Sunday. Now, if you would like to contact me, you can contact me either through regular mail or by through my website, and those addresses will be given to you at the close of the program. Now, when we think of Easter, it's really the Lord's Day or Resurrection Day. The word Easter comes from the name of a goddess of fertility and again mixes the pagan worship of gods with the worship of the Lord. And so there are many people who would be reluctant to talk about Easter on this particular day, but nevertheless, that's how the day is known. But we who are saved really do look at it as Resurrection Day. Now, Friday was what was called Good Friday, and Friday was the day that, according to the church calendar, was the crucifixion of the Lord. Now, when we think of the crucifixion of the Lord on Friday, there's many that argue that it was either Wednesday or Thursday instead of Friday. I'm convinced it was Friday. I'm not going to go through my reasons for believing that the Lord actually was crucified on Friday. But nevertheless, when we think of Friday, I have enjoyed a cartoon that I've seen recently by somebody, I don't know who writes it, but he titles it B.C. It's interesting that B.C. in our vernacular would stand for before Christ, and yet many of the things written in this particular cartoon are Christian truths. And one of the fellows is sitting there talking to another fellow, and he says, "I hate the term Good Friday." The other fellow says, "Why?" First fellow says, "My Lord was hanged on a tree that day." Second fellow says, "If you were going to be hanged on that day, and he volunteered to take your place, how would you feel?" First fellow says, "Good." Second fellow says, "Have a nice day." So I think the idea in the cartoon is that Good Friday wasn't necessarily good for the Lord, but it was certainly good for us because that was the day that the sacrifice that satisfied God was offered on an old rugged cross outside the city gates of Jerusalem. And sometimes we sing that song, "Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree, and the cross they upraise while the multitude gaze at the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. Oh, it bows down the heart, and the teardrops will start when in memory that gray hill I see, for 'twas there on its side when a man forth to die to suffer for you and for me." And because of Good Friday, we have one sacrifice for sins forever. However, on Good Friday, the Lord was crucified, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went and begged for the body of the Lord that they might take it down and give him a proper burial, and they buried him in a tomb where a man had never laid. We've mentioned before that likely that tomb was prepared by Joseph of Arimathea, who hadn't come out publicly with his faith up till that point, but it was probably prepared by Joseph of Arimathea specifically for the purpose of burying the Lord, because likely if this had been his family tomb, there would have been others that would have been buried there. But more than that, it would have been in Arimathea, the town he came from, and this was in the garden that was near to where the Lord was crucified. So the Lord was buried in that tomb, and when there's a death and there's burial, there's sorrow, and the people who were loving the Lord. They were sorrowing because of what had happened. They knew a great injustice had taken place. The religious leaders had delivered the Lord for envy, and they hadn't just delivered him. They had mocked him, and they had scourged him, and they had given him an execution that only a hardened criminal should get. And as a result, they had seen the one that they loved suffer. And he had suffered, we find now, for our sins, the just one, for us the unjust. So they had seen the suffering, and yet Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were able to place the Lord in a tomb after having wrapped him in linen cloths and having given him a proper anointing and a proper burial. Apparently they had laid aside the ointment necessary for embalming him, because the ladies, the women who loved him, came on the Sunday morning with spices as well. But when they came, they didn't see the Lord. They saw an empty tomb. And at first, it was hard to believe that the Lord was raised from the dead, because in their minds, when the tomb was empty, they assumed somebody had come and stolen the Lord away. And yet that would have been impossible, because the Pharisees had taken the temple guard and had set them in front of that tomb and had told them to guard the tomb so that nobody could do that. And if the Lord had actually been stolen away, it would have required these guards to have all been asleep and in such a stupor, such likely a drunken stupor, that people could have walked over them and broken the seal on that tomb and rolled the stone away and then gone in and very carefully brought the Lord out, leaving the clothes looking like they were untouched with the exception of the napkin around the head. And then they would have had to tiptoe back over those men and taken the Lord away. And in order for that to have happened, that's more unbelievable than believing that the Lord was raised from the dead, because Roman soldiers gave their lives if they lost a prisoner. They gave their lives in the place of the prisoner they lost. Now, I don't know if that would have been true when they're guarding a so-called dead person in an empty tomb, but that was normally Roman custom. It was very serious for a Roman soldier to lose the charge that he was guarding. And so we can see that it doesn't make sense that those soldiers would have slept through the stealing away of the body. And yet it was unbelievable for Mary to believe that the body had not been stolen away. And after everyone had left the tomb there in the latter part of John's gospel, she still thinks, when she sees this man who she thinks is a gardener, she still thinks that they have stolen the body and taken it away. But they haven't taken it away, and the Lord speaks her name, and then she realizes that she's talking to the resurrected Lord. Thomas, he didn't believe that the Lord had been raised from the dead. He was not there when the Lord appeared to the disciples the first time. And the Lord had to appear to him specially and show him his hands and his feet and say, "Be not faithless, but believing." And it wasn't that Thomas didn't believe in the Lord when it came to his messiahship, but he didn't believe in the Lord when it came to him being raised from the dead. And so today, when we come to this Easter Sunday, we have to admit that the truth that the Lord has been raised from the dead is the cornerstone of our hope and of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that I delivered unto you, Corinthians, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And when Luke begins to explain to Theophilus in Acts 1 what has happened, he talks about the Lord having proven himself to be alive after his passion with many infallible proofs. And it seems as though the cornerstone truth of the gospel that the apostles presented as they presented the gospel in the Acts was that this man not only died for our sins, But he fulfilled the scripture because he was raised again from the dead. And the resurrection is what convinced the disciples that the scriptures had been fulfilled, that the Lord was coming again, and that in fact what they were preaching was the truth. And that's the one that Paul preached when he saw the resurrected Lord, after he saw the resurrected Lord on the Damascus Road. He realized that he had seen the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 says he had seen the Lord out of due season as a resurrected, the resurrected Lord as an apostle out of due season. And so when we look at the resurrection, that is an important, the most important truth connected with the prophecies, connected with the Lord. And so today, as we think of the Resurrection Day, I don't want to talk about Easter because that has pagan overtones. But when we talk about Resurrection Day, we want to ask ourselves, are we going to church today as secular believers who acknowledge that Christianity has ordered society and is a good thing? Or are we going to church today because we believe in the resurrected Lord? Paul says that if the resurrection did not occur, we who are saved are of all men most to be pitied, because in that day they were persecuted for their beliefs. And if the resurrected Lord is lying to us, if that is not a valid truth, we are of all men most to be pitied not only because of the persecutions, but most to be pitied because it takes away our hope that the resurrected Lord is alive and is on the throne and is coming again. So I keep thinking that on Christmas and Easter, many people go to church, but why do they go? Do they go to just make their family and friends feel good, or do they go because they have truly trusted in this one who is the resurrected Lord? The Lord doesn't want us just to go and go through the motions. He wants our heart. He wants our worship. He wants our confidence. And he tells us that that will make a difference in this life, but it will change our destinies for eternity. So the question I have today as I close out this program on Easter is, do you actually trust in the truth that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures? Do you believe that the Lord has the power to save? Do you believe that the Lord is willing to save? But more than that, are you saved? Are you saved from the penalty that you deserve because of your sin? Do you have this new life in Christ? Do you have the hope of the Christian because of an empty tomb and the resurrected Lord? We sometimes sing, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. I hope he's your Savior today. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless those who are listening. We thank thee for them. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.